investigating the body's reality. We live in a world of concepts and ideas, for the most part enclosed within an autobiographical reality. Yet we have the potential to know ultimate reality and thereby be free. While we might be inclined to search for the nature of reality through the study of philosophy, true knowledge is acquired through the senses rather than through abstract reasoning. We tend to overlook the familiar in the search for the exotic without noticing so much on the immediate experience of one's own body reality. The body, as matter or material properties, is the first of the Paramattha Dhammas, or the Buddha's teachings on ultimate reality, together with consciousness, mental properties, and nibbana, and therefore is a subject of Vipassana contemplation. This investigation starts by acquiring the ability to access the primary elements of the body with the aim to expose the body's true nature. For many people, one's sense of the body is not so much the qualities we are actually experiencing, such as sensations, temperature, heaviness, etc., but more towards its form and shape, the body image. You could hardly say that this is a reality, but rather it is more an illusion. While at the same time, most of us are totally unaware of the gross identification we make with the body, not to mention the more obvious identification we make with the internal narrative, our story, as well. The Buddha lists the body as the first of the five aggregates or groups we cling to, that is, identify with as me, myself. The other aggregates are feeling, perception, mental constructions, and the consciousness. The question then is it possible to have a direct experience of the body without automatically identifying with it? It is not so easy to be free of this identification, as medical science has well documented with the lost limb syndrome, where a person who loses a limb, say in an accident, will act as if the lost limb, is still there, even apparently feeling painful sensations in the missing limb. This illustrates that there is an unconscious identification with the body's form and shape. That is, we have a deeply imprinted image in our mind's eye, a phantom, of the shape and appearance of the body, not so much with what is actually being experienced in the body. How then to access the reality of the body and not automatically identify with it? One way to loosen this identification or attachment to the body is through the meditations in the body contemplations given in the Satipatthana Sutta on the unpleasant or disgusting aspects of the body, which is rather like shock therapy. This is a rather drastic approach, but can be very effective if done under proper guidance. At least it frees one from the crude attachments anyway. What we can explore here, though, is the deep investigation of body phenomena at its elemental level, and that is through what are termed the four primary elements of earth, air, fire, and water, or the reality of the corresponding experiences of hardness and softness, movement and vibration, temperature and fluidity. Such an introspection of the body will expose just the elements in the body, and thus the meditator momentarily loses the sense of the body's boundaries, thereby loosening the identification with the body image to eventually experience the body with the other aggregates as just rising and passing away. In the sitting posture, the primary object is the tactile bodily process of motion, evident in the rising and falling movement of the abdomen. the inner wind element is active in the body as motion, vibration, and pressure, manifesting itself in the passage of air through the body, for example, in breathing, and also in the movement of limbs and organs. It becomes perceptible as a tactile process, as an object of touch, through the pressure or pushing sensations caused by it. As the meditator tunes into this particular or specific characteristics in the movement of the abdomen, it will then reveal or expose the three general characteristics of change, unsatisfactoriness, and insubstantiality. Insight meditators who focus on the body as their primary meditation object need to have the same body consciousness, if not necessarily the level of fitness, may I add, of an elite athlete in training. It is essential that the meditator's body is open and relaxed so that he or she can sense into the subtle internal and external movements from a state of receptivity. If, on the other hand, the meditator's body is tense and tight, the practice becomes a struggle and one is out of touch with a present moment awareness. So at the beginning of a sitting session, check to see if the body is relaxed, and if at any time during the session you notice that the body has tensed, do a body scan. That is, scan the body part by part, relaxing each region as the awareness moves through the body, while softening into any tension or contraction you find. If the body is contracted, so must be the mind. Be open and allowing, as the practice is about receptivity and openness, tuning in to what actually is. Do not interfere. Do not force or manipulate the movement of the abdomen in any way. Just sense the natural movement. Beginners often assume that they must stay focused on the abdomen movement all the time and measure their success on whether they achieve this or not. Actually, within an hour sitting session, the abdomen movement might be discernible for short periods of time only. Other objects, such as body sensations, mind states, and thinking, might become predominant, and these must be noted as secondary objects until they disappear. While the meditator is focused on body phenomena, there are actually two things that one can be aware of: the object and the knowing of it, or the consciousness of it. For example, one's body sensations and the associated awareness that knows the sensations. This practice is known as pairing, and needs to be established from the very beginning of the practice. In this way, the meditator will come to appreciate that what is observing the phenomena is just the knowing, or the mind knowing the mind, and not me or myself. At least one comes to see one's identification with the consciousness, which perhaps was not suspected at all before. To have the clarity that leads to insight, the meditator needs to be able to differentiate between mind and body. Normally, we have the sense that the mind and body are merged, or we act as if the body leads. Yet the Buddha tells us in the first verse of the Dhammapada that mind precedes all knowables. Mind is their chief. Mind-made are they. So seeing the distinction between mind and body will create the mental space which will help to free us from the gross identification with the phenomena, allowing one to witness the mind and body relationship as an impartial observer without identification. Walking meditation can be the key to insighting into the body's reality. When investigating movement in walking, the meditator needs to slow down and sense into the subtle movements as the component parts of the steps that are experienced. then what has appeared to be just one continuous movement is seen to be clearly defined stages. He or she will know that the lifting movement is not the same as the pushing forward movement, and the pushing forward movement is differentiated from the lifting or the placing movement. In this way, the illusion of continuity is seen through. As the practice deepens, the meditators will experience subtler phenomena such as the qualities of the essential body elements, that is, heaviness, lightness, heat, vibration, etc. By paying close attention to the stages of walking meditation, the four elements in their true essence are experienced, not as concepts, but as actual processes, as ultimate realities. As the fluency of the practice increases, it will be realized that with every movement, there is also the concurrent knowing of the movement, or the mind that knows the movement. There is the lifting movement and also the mind that is aware of the lifting. In the next movement, there is the pushing forward movement and also the mind that is aware of that movement. In addition, the meditator will realize that both the movement and the awareness of it arises and vanishes in that moment very quickly, like a flash of lightning. The meditator will then experience mind and matter arising and passing away from moment to moment. Also, the meditator has by now realized that a mental intention precedes every movement, that is, the mind leaves the body. After the intention, movement occurs. So there is arising an understanding of the conditionality of all these occurrences, that movement never arises by themselves without conditions. There is a cause or condition for every movement, and that the condition here is the mental intention preceding every movement. When meditators comprehend mind and matter arising and disappearing at every moment, then they will understand the impermanent nature of the body processes. That disappearing happens after arising is a characteristic by which we understand that something is impermanent. The next insight is unsatisfactoriness, which is seen because of the constant rising and vanishing of phenomena undermines one's sense of stability and therefore is stressful and unsatisfactory. Then, after realizing impermanence and the unsatisfactory nature of things, the meditator sees that he or she has no control over these things. That is, things are arising and passing away according to natural laws. A meditator at this level has therefore insighted into the universal characteristics of all conditioned phenomena, change, unsatisfactoriness, and insubstantiality. What are the benefits of this? Well, such knowledge will ultimately free us from attachment and desire, which the Buddha indicated as the root cause of suffering. By experientially knowing the three universal characteristics through Vipassana meditation, desire or hankering in the mind is eventually overcome. This being deeply realized, attachment and craving will end and we are free.